Just think of a dark room right now, a dark room in which you would want to get out of. What would you desire? Think about that dark room. The beaming sunlight, a warm breeze coming through, maybe some fresh paint. We all know that grim and enclosed rooms are worthy escaping, and maximum security prisons have dark rooms in which the inmates want to escape out of because they're so horrifying. But what if I told you that many people in this world are bound to a dark room, spiritually formless and empty, in a sense imprisoned, and needing renovation or escape from that dark room? Well, friends, I'm continually gripped by this world's darkness. Wars, famines, bullying, which causes those in the playground to fall into things like depression, or when a loved one passes away. I grieve over these things. I groan. The darkness is all around us, is it not? If I try to fix my dark room by filling it with luxury items, holidays, and relationships, my room would become, in a sense, a shrine of my own glory that attempted to escape my dark room altogether. I'll try to fill that dark room with many pleasures to escape the dark reality of our world. And I've done that in my life. And I use this imagery of a dark room to illustrate that life without Christ is hopeless. There's no hope without knowing God. Good Friday then becomes Bad Friday. We may try to cover up our dark room with every treasure under the sun, but without understanding the servant mission of Jesus, the purposes of Jesus coming into our world, we will never enjoy the hope, the saving light of Jesus, which is more than words can describe. It is amazing, amazing grace. It's sweet news for this world that Jesus has come. So my prayer for us today is that we will understand why God entered this dark world in Jesus, and how through his suffering service, he offers the light of life to everyone who believes the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as Mark introduces us in his gospel. So I encourage you to have this question on your mind. Has Jesus served me? So have that on your mind. Has Jesus served me as we look at the scriptures today? But firstly, let's look to Mark 15, verse 33. Mark says this: at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. The midday sun was covered with darkness as Jesus hung on the cross. The sun stopped shining. The weight of the scene is intensified when we consider the shame of Jesus in which he endured on that cross and the events beforehand. Crucifixion was designed to inflict a wealth of shame on the victim. It was a horrible thing, crucifixion was. The victim was usually naked, mocked, bloody, crushed by nails, burnt by the sun, humiliated by the excrement, bitten by insects, and inwardly shrieking as they endured such pain. And when they needed to breathe, they had to push on those nails. It was horrific, the event. The Romans knew how to torture their victims and cause as much shame as possible. And that was occurring when Jesus was hanging on the cross. While hanging hopelessly on the cross for 3 hours before the darkness emerged, Jesus, an innocent man, was insulted. He was mocked by Jewish leaders, people who were surrounding him, onlookers, and even a man hanging on the cross beside him was mocking him. But in Mark 15:33, the daylight vanished. What does this darkness reveal? First point is this: the darkness reveals a new beginning for the world. If we read John's Gospel, John chapter 1 alongside Mark, we see in verses 3 and 4 that it says this: through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So we see that Jesus, the word of life, the light of the world, was dying. He was dying. The Creator God who declared in Genesis 1:3, let there be light, was dying as the darkness was over the face of the cross, the place of the skull. The darkness signifies chaos and the dawn of something new for the world through the cosmic grief of God dying. Since nothing new can be made apart from Jesus, something significant was occurring through the service of the true light who gives life to everyone dying in our darkness. This brings us to the next point. The darkness reveals God's judgment. Mark says it was 9 a.m. when they crucified Jesus. Since the darkness came 3 hours later at noon, or at nine, sorry, we are reminded by an event that occurred long ago when God freed the Israelites from Pharaoh's captivity. And I think Mark is trying to cause us to look back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 and 22, where for 3 days God brought a thick darkness over Egypt. The Egyptians were trembling in fear in that moment when the darkness came over them because Ra, which was their chief god, the god of light, was nowhere to be found. They would have been like, "Where are you, our chief god Ra?" In this time of grief, the Egyptians could not worship their supreme sun god because he was absent. Their god was exposed as weak. They were doomed to God's judgment with the absence of their light god. And we see something powerful here, that Israel's God is superior because he is able to bring other gods under him in which people worship. And gods are anything in which people bow down to, by the way, to worship. So just as God displayed his judgment upon the idol-worshipping Egyptians, the 3 hours of darkness upon the cross signals God's judgment on he who knew no sin, who became sin for us. And who is that? Jesus. However, if one sin is the outcome of God's judgment, it is absolutely shocking to see that God's Son is under the Father's wrath, shouting in verse 34, my God, why have you forsaken me? Under the curse, why is he under God's wrath if he's an innocent man? Why is he under the cross? Under the wrath of God on the cross. A sentence that we deserve. Well, hold that thought there. Because the darkness reveals Christ's service, Christ's mission, and the purposes of his service. In his cry, Mark is probing his readers to look back 1,000 years, that's a long time, to King David's psalm, and that's Psalm 22. And in Psalm 22, verses 1, we see this announced by the psalmist, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? And as we look at that psalm, which was written 1,000 years before Jesus said the same thing, we see that the psalm talks about a servant who's being mocked. We hear of his strength being dried up, the servant's strength being dried up. We see that this servant's hands and feet were pierced. And we also see that his garments were divided, things that happened to Christ, were prophesied 1,000 years beforehand. And since the melody of the psalm describes the mission of a righteous servant from the pains of suffering to the joys of victory, we are heartwarmed as Christians, as people who declare Christ as Lord, to know that Christ's perfection as a Messiah is complete. The righteous servant has done what he came to do, and it's showcased for the whole world to see. As the Messiah, the King, comes under God's wrath, the Father's wrath, on our behalf. What good news! No wonder we call this day Good Friday. It is good news. If we understand that Jesus' cry is a psalm-like prayer, we will know, however, that God the Father heard his voice as he finished his mission to enter into our darkness on our behalf, so that we could come home to God through his saving light. Psalm 22, verse 24 says, for he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one, who is Jesus. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help. As the Son showed his faithful allegiance to the Father, the Father displayed his unceasing affections for his Son as he listened to his cry. Despite every trauma the son faced physical, social, emotional, spiritual, his allegiance to his father's will meant that he would serve and give his life as a ransom for many, as a ransom for me and you. In fact, a ransom for every nation, every single person throughout human history who loves God revealed in Scripture, who loves their Lord Jesus Christ. God came to free the world from all idols as he did in Egypt, but on a grander scale. Since we have all rebelled against God's good plan for our lives, to live under God's reign, just like the Egyptians did in Egypt, we are also utterly hopeless in sin. Rather than worshipping the Creator, God of light and life, we have turned to other gods. The God of sport, the God of devices, the God of sex, the God of money, the God of, if it just feels right, go for it. We make knowledge, power, fame, music, money, sex, sports, hobbies, works and toys our object of worship, ultimate focus and central purpose for living. And I confess, when I was younger, rugby league was my God. I would do anything for my God. I worship that God. I couldn't miss a game on TV. It was my God. Before a holy God, I was shown as imperfect, blemished, unrighteous. This is the same for all of us. We've all rebelled because we've fallen into sin, because we've worshipped other things other than God, which is the cause of our sins. But through Christ's deathly service, we witness a great ransom. God is superior than our idols. Good Friday is good news. Christ came under the Father's judgment to serve us. The instrument of the world's judgment came under his own curse for us. And responding to this amazing news with trembling, Mark 15:39 says, "And when the centurion who stood here in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said in faith, 'Man was the Son of God.' Surely he was the servant king." The Son of God, a title often given to Caesar, was given to a man who was experiencing the pinnacle of shame in that society, in that day. And one of Caesar's own guards, centurions, proclaimed that he's the true Lord. What an amazing story. A man who wasn't even a Jew recognized that Jesus came to serve us. Then to highlight this amazing testimony of faith, the temple curtain split into two, which signified that the old age is gone, the old Jewish order is gone and done away with, and the new order in Christ has come, and that order is about our union with Jesus, and that we can be God's kingdom people together as we live under his saving reign for his glory, because he served us. He's rescued us from every idol which once controlled us so that we may redirect our lives to God in Christ and his reign. If you were a dark room, murky, dim and rugged, what would you desire? If the centurion was answering this question, he would respond, "Jesus, the Son of God, the servant king." Jesus is indeed the answer to our hopelessness. He gives us hope. He gives us light and life. The centurion's announcement is an announcement of great hope for us as well. Jesus stated that his project of bringing the resounding thunders of his future new world through his Son is coming in the death and resurrection. And Nathan's going to speak more about that on Sunday, so I encourage you to come here to hear that message of the resurrection. And Jesus completing his deathly mission signifies that the new world is going to launch in him, this new order which I speak about. By having faith in the servant king, you become the people of God, and you are served by Jesus, the man, the God-man, who died on your behalf so that you are right in God's sight. His blood was absolutely spilled. He experienced every shame for you, to serve you. So has Jesus served you? Jesus has, God has made it a way for him to unite us to his presence in Jesus. Has Jesus served you? This is the victory of Christ. It is finished. He has done it. And if you look back at Psalm 22, the last verse in that psalm says that it is finished. It is accomplished. He has served. Jesus came what he came to, has done what he came to do, to serve the world by bearing on himself the evil of this world. What a king to be served by. Has Jesus served you? Are you living under his saving reign because of his service? Jesus said, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but will receive life. Because Christ has come under the Father's judgment on your behalf. What an amazing message that you are listening to. Christ has paid for your sin once and for all on the cross. You are good. You are okay now in God's sight by faith. Even though we experience the dark world around us, we are okay. God loves us. He's pursued us with his love through his service in Christ. By believing that Jesus is the servant king, you'll be people of the light and enjoy salvation in him. However, if you reject that news, if you say it's not for me, you will have to answer the consequences of you, the coming judgment of God, because you rejected Jesus. So, has Jesus served you? That's my question I want to leave with you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this good news of salvation. Thank you that Jesus entered into this dark world, died on the cross so that we may have the light of life. If Jesus has served us, Lord, we do pray that we live for your saving reign for the rest of our lives. Help us remember that Jesus serves us, has served us by being a ransom for us. Amen.